And that really can be said of about every day of our lives, that this could be the day. The coming of the Lord, we believe, is just that imminent. But until then, we will continue simply to believe God and to accomplish what He indeed has for us. I want to turn this morning to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 12. And let us begin with verse 10. For they verily after a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is somewhat of a follow-up to the message last week as we delved a little bit into the matter of the chastening hand of the Lord. Today, I want to speak on experimental holiness. We see it from verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There are two major points we want to discuss in this message. The first one, we'll see in verse 10, is the source of holiness. And then the second one, as we find here in verse 14, it is the reward or the result of holiness in our lives. Verse 14 is a wonderful verse, but I attended a church, small church, before I came to Bible school, and the people there did not see eternal life. And they repeatedly used this verse as a hammer, and I literally mean a hammer, to indicate that you had better watch your life and you better be walking in holiness every day, or else when Jesus comes, you're not going to see Him because you're going to hell. This was the essence of what that church taught. I have found out since that there are glorious depths in this church, in this verse, and I hope to bring some of those out in the message today. Untold limits of benefits which God has for us right now. Let us begin with verse 10, however, and notice the source of holiness. They verily, speaking of our natural fathers, for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that is God, for our profit. And notice that we might be partakers of his holiness. The first thing we would see is that holiness comes only from God. That's the only source of it. That's the only place we can get it. And the channel that is used for there, for that holiness to come into our lives, is indeed chastening, as we see at this particular point. God would have us partake of his holiness. We read repeatedly in the Old Testament, once again, it is only God that has it. He says, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Let us understand, again, holiness can only be imparted by God. Let us also understand that from the moment we believe, from the moment we are born again, God counts us holy. Every believer is holy in the eyes of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said this, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified," it means to them that are holy, are set apart unto God, "them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints," or called holy ones. That's what God calls us, is holy ones. The word sanctified means exactly the same thing as holy. And again, it can only be accomplished in Christ Jesus. The moment we are in Christ, we are holy. And that is once again because of the holy life that God implants in us at the very moment of the new birth. Acts 26:18 says it this way, "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ." The only way we receive holiness, the only way it's imparted, is because God gives it to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:11, "Both he that sanctifieth and they are who are sanctified are all of one." It's the same holiness that Christ has, "for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." And so we are counted holy in the eyes of God the moment we believe, but this message is about experimental holiness. This is actual walking in holiness. This is a walk before God. And again, I emphasize, we are talking about holiness according to the righteous standards and the eyes of God, not according to those of men. This is why it's so important for us to understand that God actually imparts that holiness, and it comes through chastening. That's why that this part of our lives is such an important one in our experience. There are varying degrees of practical holiness depending on how we respond to God's ways for us. Notice these next few verses. We are partakers of his holiness through chastening. In verse 11 we read, "No chastening for the present seems to be joyous." And that's absolutely the truth, because chastening indicates pain and discomfort. And God has used much of it down through the years, as we will see in the rest of this message. "It is rather grievous." Notice, "nevertheless, afterward," after God has performed his work, after God has brought his way into our lives, "afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." We must respond to God's chastening hand in order for this to work. In order for it to accomplish anything in our lives, we have to be exercised or trained in this manner. And because of that, Paul says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He's talking about in the midst of trial and difficulty and all of these things, let us look up for what is coming. There will be an end to it. And God will produce those peaceable fruits of righteousness. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. We know how it comes now. It comes from God as a result of His works in our lives. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We know that it means that we are looking for Jesus literally to appear in this world. But I want to notice today that this verse can be fulfilled in our lives right now. At our present experience, we are those who can see the Lord because of such holiness. I want to emphasize today the relationship. It is a pattern that we see repeatedly of chastening, holiness, and the results, which is seeing the Lord. We see this again and again in Scripture. The object here is to see Him. It refers to a revelation of Christ Jesus. And I can tell you that we don't get a revelation of Jesus all at one time. It comes over repeated experiences, but they are always one deeper revelation put upon top of another revelation. This is what our lives consist of. Every time we get a revelation of truth, a revelation of Christ, this verse is fulfilled in our lives. This is what God is wanting to do. There are many examples of this in Scripture. I'm going to mention just a few of them, and we're going to consider some of them in detail. But you may remember Jacob, who fled from his brother Esau. That would be a time of chastening or training in the life of Jacob. And you remember that the first day, so to speak, he was away from home. He lay down, had a stone for his pillow, and he dreamed a dream. And he saw this ladder extending from the heaven up to the earth. And we find from the New Testament that ladder is none other than Christ Himself. This is what we are talking about. God separated Jacob unto Himself. He was partaker of His holiness through His chastening, and God gave him a revelation of Christ. Let him see Jesus. When Jacob woke up, he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. That's the same thing God does in our lives, teaching us those things of Christ. Surely He is there, even though we are not always exactly aware of it and cognizant of it. Then there was another time that God was trying desperately to influence Jacob to go back to the land from whence he had come. And Jacob ran into all sorts of things. He would settle short of Canaan. God's chastening hand was faithful, and He began to work on Jacob. And you remember, of course, the time that he wrestled with the angel, and the angel put his hip out of joint. But as a result of that, you see, with the glory of the Lord that Jacob understood and that God revealed to him, we are partakers of His holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When the holiness is present, then, of course, we do have that glorious revelation of Christ. We read of David in 2 Chronicles 3:1. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father. If you go back and read that story, you'll find that David made a gross error in trying to number the people. And then God did chasten him for it. There's no doubt about that. And a plague broke out among the people. But here is where that David was instructed as God set him apart. And David finally listened to the Lord. And God said to him, you offer the sacrifice here on Mount Moriah. That's what this verse is talking about. Temple built in the same place where David offered that sacrifice unto the Lord in order to stop the plague. David received this wonderful revelation as God appeared unto David, his father. Then you remember, of course, the burning bush, as God said to Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And it was Moses who entered into that holy ground. He would partake of his holiness. And then those words there in that same chapter talking about the very presence of the Lord. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. He saw the Lord. God introduced himself as the great I am. And he told him, you go back to Israel and you tell him, I am has sent me. Moses was introduced to I am before he declared I am unto the others. This man was a partaker of his holiness, and indeed he did see the Lord. I want to notice some of these. Let us go to the book of Acts. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and he is talking about Saul of Tarsus. That's who he was. And I want to see this same wonderful pattern in the life of this man. We find that Paul is the chief apostle to the church, and he sets the pattern, an example for us in many, many ways. Here is another one. Verse 14 of Acts 26, Paul is giving his testimony as to how he came to be converted, how he came to be a Christian. And so in verse 14, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Here is the chastening time. God knocked him down on the road to Damascus. Chastening leads to God imparting his holiness. And that's exactly what he was doing. God was just dealing with him as a son whom he was just about to receive. And so in verse 15, he said, who art thou, Lord? This tells us that this man had submitted unto the Lord. This is where that Saul was converted. He received this holy seed into his heart. He indeed became holy in that hour. Notice further. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. When Saul of Tarsus was in this condition, the Lord appeared indeed unto him to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of things in the which I will appear unto you. This is why I say again, this experience of seeing the Lord doesn't just happen one time. It must happen again and again and again and again, and it's always the same pattern. As he instructs us, as he teaches us, as we partake of his holiness, we are able to see the Lord in a much different and deeper way than we ever did before. I want to see another man. Let us turn back to Exodus 33. We mentioned Moses at the burning bush, but he had exactly the same experience as Paul. God had other experiences for him. And we remember this one as Moses was up in the mountain. Now the children of Israel had committed idolatry. They had gone aside from the Lord in making the golden calf and bowing down and worshiping it. And now Moses is going to be up in the mountain again, interceding for Israel. Exodus 33 and verse 13. I trust that this will be our prayer. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. We must know the way of the Lord in order to know him. We have already seen that it is chastening that imparts God's holiness unto us. We receive holiness through his instruction. We saw in the message last week that chastening does not simply guarantee or preclude that a person has done anything wrong. Chastening simply means instruction. And I thought of this one in such a tremendous manner today because I believe that this is happening in the lives of many of God's people. The chastening here was not because of Moses' wrongdoing. It was because of someone else. And it means this. God may chasten us or he may instruct us even through the lives of other people. I think of the Apostle Paul who said to the Corinthians that God may humble me because of you. This often happens in the lives of people. God works in our lives by things that happen unto others. Chastening simply means training or instruction, and God has a multitude of ways to instruct us and to do what he wants to do. Moses is doing exactly, he responded exactly the way that God intended for him to. He is a man of true intercession, falling on his face before God, interceding for the children of Israel. But you see, God is working in Moses' life. This is the beauty of the ways of the Lord. He doesn't waste anything. Even adverse experience and painful experience, God worked in the life of Moses as Moses interceded for these people. And so you'll notice these wonderful verses. Let's skip down to verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This is turned from just simply interceding to the children of Israel. This is turned personal between God and Moses. God wants to impart his holiness unto Moses, indeed, through the instruction, through the training, through the chastening. We know he did that because Moses' face literally glowed with the glory, the holiness of God after it was all over. Verse 19, God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. All of these are a part of the glory which God would show to Moses. But I want to notice just this one part here. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. We read a number of places in Scripture that the name of God is equated with holiness. The very name of God is holy. And so this is where that God was indeed expressing his holiness unto Moses. And indeed, Moses did see the glorious glory of God. Notice verse 20. God said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass while my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and they will cover you with my hand while I pass by. I will take away mine hand, and you'll see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Without holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. Moses saw the Lord. Some have translated my back parts as being the afterglow. and no man shall see me and live. That's absolutely the truth. But you talk about getting a vision, understanding, and seeing the glory of the Lord. Moses certainly did, and it follows this same pattern that we have seen of chastening, imparting his holiness, and then indeed seeing the glories and the wonder of God. We will close with Job 42, who just sums it up for us in such a wonderful way. We have seen this verse and gloried in it for so many times, wanting to understand the things that happen in our lives. And so you'll notice in Job 42 and verse 5, let's read verse 4. This is Job speaking to God. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Job is not being impudent. He's not demanding of God in that sense of the word. Job is simply wanting God to answer him. Have I learned the lesson that you intended for me to learn? And here it is. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. We well understand the chastening of the Lord. And if you read through this book, you will find little by little that God's holiness most assuredly has been imparted unto Job. And now we come to the glorious benefit or the reward of that holiness, and that is, now mine eye seeth thee. This is what God intends for every one of us, that we too see the Lord, that we are in this place, that we are sanctified or separated unto the Lord in his holiness, in order that we might receive these glorious revelations of truth, exactly like Moses did, being introduced to the great I Am, like Jacob did, of seeing Christ as this way into heaven, the only way, the angels of God ascending and descending unto upon him, all heaven's glories open unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way that we see him today. And of course, one day, bless God, we will look upon him in all of his glory. And it will still be exactly the same reason, because his holiness has been imparted unto us in a very practical, wonderful, and blessed way.